Recording is on, Olivier.
Thanks very much, Julie. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. This is the ALAC Executive Committee conference call on Thursday, the 29th of August, 2013. The time is 13:02 UTC. And we'll start with a roll call and the apologies, if you could please, Julie. Julia?
Thank you. Yeah. Yes, this is Julia.
Sorry.
It's fine. On today's call, we have Olivier Crépin-Leblond, Evan Lebovich, Tijani Benjema, Rinalia Abdulrahim, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Julie Hammer, and Alan Greenberg. We have apologies from Heidi Ulrich and Carlton Samuels. And from staff, we have Gisela Gruber, Natalie Peregrine, and myself, Julia Charvelin. May I please remind all participants to please state their names before speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Thanks very much, Julia. It's Olivier speaking. And have we forgotten anything? Is anybody on the call whose name we have not mentioned? I hear no one speak up. Okay.
Olivier, sorry, Olivier.
Yes, Julia, go ahead.
Olivier, sorry, excuse me. Just to say that Tijani is not on the call. Sorry, there's been a confusion, so we're just trying to get hold of him.
Okay. Well, we'll start with a review of the action items, and hopefully Tijani is able to join us. If you can continue dialing out to him, please.
Yes.
And one other small housekeeping note. Who will be taking the notes, since I note that Matt is not here?
Olivier Giesler here. We'll take the notes and the action items. If you can just clearly state the action items for us, that would be great. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Gisela. Let's get going, and we'll start with a review of the action items from the 22nd of August XCOM meeting, the last call that we had, and the last call that the XCOM had. You'll notice that there are a lot of action items which are closed and over and done with. The ones which are still open are few. First, Tijani, Benjamin, and Eduardo Diaz to provide an update on the meeting strategy working group activities during the 27th of August ALAC call. I believe that's been done. The next one is for Olivier to work with the ALAC to decide whether Dave and Antilic Singh should be appointed as chair of the ALAC subcommittee on outreach, and he was appointed during the last call. The last ALAC call. Alan Greenberg is to complete required documents to allow the new ROPs to be put in place. Once that is close to complete, the chair will put out a call for members of the board member selection process committee. That's on its way as well at the moment. Alan, you put your hand up. You have the floor.
Yeah, going a little slower than planned. The vote for the email guide hasn't started yet. I'm not quite sure what the status is. And the adjunct document 3 is in Cheryl's hands. And
only just.
Well, a day.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you, Cheryl.
I thought you were there at my beck and call, just waiting. Nothing else to do.
So let's just tag this as being ongoing for the time being. I understand that Matt not being here might have delayed the vote. Together. So let's move on. The next one is for Matt Ashtiani to work with Dave and with myself on the development of an overall workspace on the collection of at-large action items. In fact, we have done, we've had a couple of calls where we've done some experimentation of nesting of pages and inside nesting of pages, and fortunately with very terrible consequences, and it wasn't quite working too well. So we're still working on this, trying to find a way to have a better collection of at-large action items that need to remain there for the record afterwards. The problem is when you have items that can be updated automatically from page to page, it updates everything, and then the record disappears altogether. So still working on that. Looking down at the newly assigned action items, further at the bottom of your page, you'll see that Olivier is to ask the ALAC to discuss the ALAC CCNSO meeting group suggestion on the next conference call that has taken place during the last ALAC conference call, so that's done. And Matt and Alan are to work on cleaning up the various mailing lists Alan, have you been taking your broom and scrubbing?
I'm ready to scrub.
Okay. Thank you. Any comments, especially on the closed action items? I note that I did not go through those for the sake of saving time, since some of us have a hard time. Has anyone got anything to say of any of the closed action items so far? I see no one putting their hand up. I'm sure I will have. There were a few things where I was supposed to follow up, and I should probably report back to you. Certainly, the status of the .mobi liaison, you're now aware. We have to create the position, so that will be next thing that we will be doing. And on anything else on there, I don't see anything else on there that I've dealt with. So let's move on to the next set of action items, and that these are the ones from the ALAC call. You'll note that you need to click onto the agenda and then click on the action item part of that agenda. And there, quite a few action items that are also closed. So the open action items, if we look on that page, the ALAC to discuss the ALAC CCNSO meeting prep group, that's been done. The cleaning up the various mailing list is ongoing. Tijani, Benjamin, Eduardo Diaz to provide an update on the meeting strategy activities, that's done. Alan Greenberg to complete required documents to allow the new ROPs to be put in place. That's, as we just said now, pretty much a copy of echoing. And then Matt to work with Dave and Olivier on the development and an overall workspace for the collection of at-large AIs. If that space was developed, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing now, which is to repeat what we've just said about a minute ago. Newly assigned action items. Olivier to begin speaking with Rola chairs on ELSD certifications. Well, that I guess that hasn't started yet. That will soon. Matt is to follow up with Jean-Jacques Subrenat on his recent vote activity. I guess that's also ongoing. Carlos Reyes is to follow up with Wolf Ludwig on the status of the Atlas II survey, which I believe will need to be sent from the 1st of September onwards. Just quickly mentioning regarding the Atlas II, the budget has been published, and you will find that the Atlas II is funded there. So, yippee, it's on, or rather, we're on. We've got a heck of a lot of work in front of us. But there you are. We asked for it. And then Olivia and Alan to inform the ALAC when the ATRT2 documents are ready for review. And that, I think, is forthcoming. Just a quick update on this. We've now received travel documents to travel to Washington, D.C. for yet an additional meeting of the ATRT2, just to make sure that all of the information we've received will be not only included, but there'll be all sorts of drafting done about it. And I guess that Alan is knee-deep, or should I say neck-deep in this at the moment. Any comments or questions or suggestions regarding these action items? Have we forgotten any action item from the last call? Are they all well-recorded?
It's Alan. I'm just mildly trying to figure out how do you get to these action items you were just rereading on.
So you go into the agenda.
Yeah.
Of the 29th, today's agenda, 27th of August 2013, ALAC meeting.
Right.
You end up on the ALAC meeting itself. No, if you reload. Oh, what the heck happened there?
Thank you. I get an agenda. I get the August ALAC teleconference with no link that I can find there to the action items.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Oh, hold it. There is an action items English. Ah! It is there. It's the wrong link, but it's an indirect one. If you can find, if your eyes are working well enough, and this time in the morning they're not for me.
Yeah, but someone tried to fix this at the moment, and it has now sent us to the action items on the 2nd of July.
Yeah.
2013. Please reverse back.
I saw that once, but then I renewed and saw something else. Okay, sorry, okay. I've taken up too much time.
We're having transient action items at the moment with transient agendas. Let's move on. Items for discussion. Matt was supposed to update this, but I guess that there's not very much to update on it. We've got several statements currently being developed. The draft next generation GTLD directory services model. That's one where I believe Holly is working on this. Oh, God, this is completely wrong.
Yeah.
This whole section is wrong from A to Z. I wish I had looked at that. I thought that was updated. We need to look at the previous call, I'm afraid. So let me just, because otherwise we're going to work on something that's completely out of date. So if we look at the conference call from yesterday, and here is the link. So you've got the link on the chat at the moment. That's the mid-month conference call. No, that's not the right one. God, what's going on here?
Can at least someone tell us who's doing the updating as we speak?
Matt. Oh, at the moment, I don't know who's doing the updating.
Matt's not on the call.
Anyone?
Sorry, Olivier, Gisela here. Sorry, I was on mute. My computer's crashed. I'm just rebooting. What update were you referring to?
We're trying to find out where the agenda is at the moment with the correct policy development process or policy development discussions.
Yeah,
what I'm going to do... Okay.
I'll help you look at...
That hasn't been updated. So here
sorry.
We go. If you have a look... There we go. I've just put the ALAC monthly conference call on the 27th of August, which is the one from 2 days ago. If you click on this link, you will see the items for decision, number 6, ALAC policy development activities. I believe that is updated. So looking at the statements or endorsements currently being developed, reviewed, or voted on by the ALAC, community priority evaluation update from ICANN, the ALAC is drafting a statement on this. In fact, I believe it's Rinalia that was drafting a statement on this. We're currently having a status of comments. Let's have a quick discussion on this one. Rinalia, are you able to speak?
Yes, Olivia, can you hear me?
Yes, indeed, please.
This is about the CPE guidelines?
That's correct, yes.
So on the community priority evaluation guidelines, I've drafted a statement, and there is one set that is left blank because I'm awaiting community input, and Salanieta has submitted an input, and I understand that Tijani will be submitting one as well. And for the new GTLD working group, I think a 48-hour call for comments has been initiated by the co-chairs, so I'm waiting for that, and once I have the input, then I'll have to sit down and see what kind of synthesis I can gather from that. That's
okay,
all I have.
Thank you very much. Thanks very much, Rinalia. Now, the only thing I'm concerned about at the moment is where is this advice going? So looking at the request which was made in that it's not even a public comment. It was something that came out of the new GTLD process site itself. It asks people to send things to newgtldcpe@icann.org, and that's in there. It basically says, if you would like to provide input on this document for the panel firm's consideration. So I'm not quite sure whether at the moment it goes to ICANN staff or whether it goes directly to the panel firm itself. What I do see, though, is that the question is about the guidelines document. The draft is about the fact that we don't believe the CPE panel firm is the right people to go to, or how were they, was there an open call for tender, were there selected channels for the call for tender, etc. There's a whole lot of questions for ICANN staff and not for the CPE panel. Furthermore, we've already made our let me just finish. We've already made our points known on our previous notes to the board about the CPE panel and about the EIU. So I'm not quite sure how that would fit yet, but I guess we might have answers. Rinalia and Evan. So Rinalia first, please.
Thank you, Olivier. To my mind, the content needs to be split for that statement. And basically, the input on guidelines goes to the panel firm, which is the EIU, but the rest of it has either to go to the board or management, because those questions need to be responded to. Over to Evan.
Thank you, Rinalia. Evan Leibovich.
Hi. I wrestled with exactly the same question. To what extent is this commentary redundant with the statements that have been recently done? And Rinalia had made the point to the group they were significantly different. One was an overall comment on the as you say, the choice of the contractors, the way that this was all done. But apparently what we're working on now is ICANN having made that decision, ICANN having put EIU in the positions and so on, then it is now reexamining the criteria under which it needs to operate. And so that is something that we haven't really spoken on. And I think that's, if I read things properly, that's the direction of the current statements. Personally, on one hand, it seems that our activity on this is somewhat haphazard, having made two separate statements and now doing a third. I think it actually reflects the haphazardness with which this whole thing has been rolling out. The whole concept of reevaluating the community designation, the whole concept of PICS, everything, all of this has this hastily done, backhanded, last-minute, damage mitigation feel to it. Part of me almost wonders if we need to do some kind of overarching statement to the board that this is all looking like one big botch, that here we are having to run after ICANN, which itself is running after all of its own unintended consequences. These things like the community evaluation process, these things like the PICS, really had to be baked in from the very beginning, and now that they're just being tacked on at the end, the results are really awful. The way that they're doing the community solicitation is awful. Think of this being done right in the middle of the summer with disgustingly fast timelines. This is all being rushed. This is all being functionally opaque, even though technically there's these open processes. The speed and the way in which this is done essentially is making this totally untransparent. We're doing the best we can with this, but this is, to me, just absolutely one big botch. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Evan. Next is Alan Greenberg.
Just a quick comment. Evan, your comment is cathartic, but I'm not quite sure what the need for it is right now. If you read the minority statement, or not a minority statement, it was actually a statement from the majority of the board, the board new GTLD committee on the plural singular equivalence. It's a rant, which is equivalent to what you just said of how badly this whole process has been run and how we're trying to fix problems after the fact that we really don't have the mechanisms to fix properly. And as a result, people are this is not going well. So I think a little bit later we need to make a more thorough statement like that, and doing it in the middle right now while they're in the middle of still botching things, I'm not sure there's a lot of merit.
Thanks very much, Alan. It's Olivier speaking.
My quick reply on that is the only reason for doing something now is because I think we're far from having seen the last botch.
Oh, you're right. We keep on finding new ones every day.
I guess my question is a larger one, Olivier. Do we have anything to say at a very high level to the board that is simply commenting, You know, do we actually stake out a position that may be unpopular, but maybe the only sane way in saying they've got to catch their breath and take a breather and reevaluate all these stupid little band-aids that they're doing, reevaluate all these things, and perhaps they need to even invoke the D word and just say, you know, there's so many stupid things happening. We can't roll out on the timetable that we planned because there's so many unanticipated problems. Is this something that we dare say in public? You know, I mean, on one hand, you know, do we fear irritating or pissing off all sorts of people? On the other hand, I feel that the people in our own constituencies would probably cheer the idea of having ICANN take a breather and actually consider what it's doing. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Evan. I see, Evan, your hand is up again? Or?
Yeah, I'll just point out that most of the problems we're having here aren't going to be fixed by delays. You know, they're just not. They're things that are cast in concrete, and we're trying to mitigate the best we can. And yes, slowing it down a little bit might, in any given case, help us come up with a better answer. Certainly, comments done in the middle of August are not necessarily the most responded to.
I think we're
living with things that just a mere delay is not going to fix at this point.
Thanks, Alan. I think we all agree with each other that there seems to be some serious problems with the system, and the way that it's being rolled out is, as Evan said, very much band-aids and things they're trying to fix at the very last moment. But there's a bigger issue to this, which is that some of the things that were agreed to or pushed under the carpet a few years ago are now coming back out. It looks as though the new GTLD board committee has to try and grapple with those whilst at the same time being pressurized to deliver on time. Coming back to this statement, because I think we are somehow going a bit straying off our path, I would suggest splitting this in two. Splitting this in two by having the response to the CPE guidelines developed by the EIU given on time, which we need to do by the 6th of September or the 7th of September. We did say we were going to have a response to this specific thing. I also understand that next week, I believe it's the 3rd or the 4th, new GTLD committee will be meeting and will be addressing our last comment, which pretty much is quite similar to the questions that we have asked here regarding the call for tender and how the CPE panel firm were selected. What I would suggest is that keeping that part of the statement with us, we have this as a separate statement, perhaps as a response to any response we receive from the board committee on new GTLDs. And therefore, that would give us more robustness to respond once we receive a response from the board, new GTLD committee. I certainly see that the questions which are raised there are absolutely vital to ICANN's accountability and transparency. But I have a deeper concern that things are now being patched with band-aids, as we call them, in a way to make sure that we're on time, but at the same time losing the transparency and the accountability that one needs to have. I don't think we can make accusations of this offhand, but we can certainly ask questions about this. And if we don't get the right answers to this, then that really puts the point on, you know, puts the finger on a deep problem. But we certainly have to build this up. Any other thoughts on that? So split the statement into two and proceed forward with the CPE guidelines developed by the EIU. I note that Salah has provided some interesting input on this, and several of us can maybe look at the document isn't that large. I've read through it once. I haven't made any deep analysis of it yet, but I guess some of the guidelines are good. Others might be superficial and might work in theory, but in practice, and we know that we've had through the joint applicant support program some people who worked on this problematic. In practice, some things are a lot harder to satisfy, and you end up with such guidelines that are so tight that you end up with absolutely no community passing the guidelines. So we need to be alert to that. Answer this and keep the other one, the second statement, separate. Are we okay with this? Now, I've either dropped out or, okay, I see yes from Nadia. Okay, excellent.
Olivier?
Okay. Yes, Tijani,
Olivier?
Of course. Please.
Yes. Hello. Tijani speaking. About the guidelines, yes, we need to have our comment before the deadline. And the remark I can give now very quickly is that those guidelines are only to interpret more or less the applicant guidebook. So if the applicant guidebook has a very tight criteria, you will have the guidelines with very tight criteria. It's only if you want the guideline will give how you will apply those the criteria which are in the guidebook. So I am really sad for that because our statement about the community consideration wasn't heard, and we are still in the same logic of using the applicant guidebook criteria, and I am fine with this. But we need, if you want, with this system, which is, if you want, we cannot go out of it because it is in the applicant guidebook. We can also give other consideration for other application that we can consider as community application. So the guidelines will not give us the opportunity to go to the aspect that I just mentioned now. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. But these are two parallel processes. We're asked to comment on the guidelines here, but we're also going to comment separately on the process and on the fact that we need to have community members. The reason why we haven't received a reply yet from the board on this is because there hasn't been on the board new GTLD committee agenda.
Committee.
And that's coming at the beginning of next month. So that's why we haven't got an answer yet. It's not that they've rejected it. They've read it, but they haven't come back to us yet because they haven't discussed it. It's purely a timing issue. And this is one of the terrible things in that the timeline is so tight right now that we're talking a matter of days when we need to have an answer because in the meantime, the whole new GTLD process rollout is rolling forward like a massive roller coaster that is unable to stop. And that sort of gets out of hand a little bit sometimes.
Exactly.
All right, let's get going. Let's move on to the next one, if I can get back to the correct agenda. So the next one is the preferential treatment for community applications in string. Sorry about that. Next one is proposal to mitigate name collision risks. And this one is one where Julie is holding the pen. And she has produced an excellent statement. I think that's well underway. And this is going to be voted on, isn't it? The vote is already on at the moment. Date of submission 27. Was this sent out? I have to check. Yes, it was. Okay, sorry about this monologue. I'm just talking aloud at the moment, thinking aloud. Let's continue. Steamroller, that's right. Sorry. Steamroller is bad. Roller coasters are fun. Next, the rights protection mechanism requirements. And this one is one where Hong is currently working on it. I've read some of her draft. I know that Rinalia has added a few points to this because the draft looks specifically at the well, especially at the IBN, CJK and this sort of script, but not at the Arabic scripts. Renalia, do you wish to comment a couple of things on this? And you're currently muted. I might have to speak louder as well.
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, please, go ahead, Renalia.
Can you hear me now?
Okay. Yes, yes,
thank
very
you.
Well.
I drafted a treatment or addition to Hong's statement, and I am consulting Edmund right now to cut the impact on registries, and I will reconfirm the impact on the Arabic script with Sarmat Hussein, whom I consider to be the world's leading expert on Arabic script and Arabic script variants. Once that's done, then I will post it on the wiki. But I think that Hong will be quite unhappy with what I am going to post, because the recommendation isn't exactly what she is putting up. Basically, what she's saying is we note that ICANN is relying on registry action for this IDN variant management solution for the trademark clearinghouse, which is correct. And their proposed solution right now in dealing with IDN variants is good, and she likes it, and she wants to congratulate them and say that, well, in addition to this, there are still some other issues, please fix that. In my opinion, that's not sufficient. We actually know what needs to be done because the knowledge exists, and we should be making a policy recommendation saying that, thank you very much with the revision that you have made, but we don't think you've gone further enough, and we think that you should consider these options, and here's the advantage and disadvantages of these two options, and therefore we urge you to adopt this one. And that's what I'm going to do with the revised draft. And we'll see what the ALAC says about it. And I really think, fundamentally, if we look at the ALAC's mission, we have to represent the interests of Internet users globally who speak different languages and who write in different scripts. So a solution that is proposed from ICANN that serves only the Chinese community, to my mind, is not good enough for the ALAC to support. That's all I have it right now. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Renalia. Thank you. I concur with your point of view in that you do have to look at the various aspects worldwide, and the original statements fell somehow a little bit short of looking at the overall aspect. I hope that you're able to mix the Hong's original statement and add your section to it and see if you can have a joint statement that works together. And you do have a few more days to
I'm trying my best to keep most of her text intact, but the ones that must go out must go out.
Okay, thank you, Renalia. Any comments or questions? Alan Greenberg.
No, I'm just going to reiterate what Renalia just said. And we get involved in a lot of things because ICANN is screwing up, and we know in our heart that it's not good for ICANN. This is a real user issue that we're here for, and there aren't a lot of other people speaking up on behalf of users. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much, Alan. Any other questions, comments? No? Okay. Let's move on then to the next one, and the next one is, I see this correctly, where are we now? Somehow lost proposal to mitigate. Okay. So explore the draft next generation GTLD directory services, is that correct? I can't find the agenda that I'm supposed to work on now, unfortunately.
Oops.
Yeah. Well, because we're working on two different agendas. There we go. That's the one. So we've done the community priority evaluation. We've done the proposal. So the proposal to mitigate name collision risks was the next one. That was done. The rights protection mechanism requirements, that's done. Explore the draft next generation GTLD directory services model. Ah. Finally, Sorry about that. It's just very confusing to have five different screens opened up at the same time. Holly has worked on this one. She has produced a first draft that was incomplete. At the end, she adds that there is all still significant issues that will need to be worked through, such as determining who has access to what data, for what reason, and how will compliance be enforced. However, we support continuing discussions on the development of the ARDS proposal and expect to continue to be involved in those discussions. We might wish to expand a little bit on this. I'm not quite sure how you wish to proceed forward. We have until the 30th. Call for comments closes on the 30th, and that's tomorrow. There hasn't been any comment forthcoming from anyone apart from Alan, who mentioned exactly what I just said now. Alan Greenberg, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say that we have to enlarge and say that the number of boogeymen hiding in what they're claiming, you know, should not be implementation, but is just high level, is too large not to mention a little bit explicitly. We can't do an exhaustive list of potential problems, but we need to highlight the very high level ones, at the very least.
Okay, thank you, Alan. What I suggest then is maybe you and I and Holly can have. The problem is Holly is on holiday right now, so she's unavailable. She just drafted this and she kind of left it on the side. Maybe you and I, Alan, would be looking at that at this and just polishing it up.
That's fine. I mean, I identified one sentence that I think needs to be enlarged. I didn't try to craft the actual words. It can certainly be done. It's not all that onerous. It's just a matter of going on record saying, you know, they can't absolve themselves of high level implementation concerns.
Correct. Yeah.
What they propose has to be implementable.
Well, that goes directly in line with what the board has been saying recently, and in fact for a while now. In addition, I mean, one of the problems with this specific statement at this moment in time right now is that this really is on an interim report. The work is continuing. The EWG is actually meeting this week in Washington, D.C., so Carlton is working over there, and that's probably why he's not able to be with us at this very moment. And because it's an ongoing piece of work, from one hand, we don't want to shoot down the work and say, well, it's terrible and you should abandon. And on the other side, we don't want to give it a green light and say you're doing everything wonderfully well. Because, of course, if they were doing everything wonderfully well, then they wouldn't need to do any more work. It would be polished and ready to go out for print. So I think this statement is short enough to just say, okay, we're fine with what is there. Needs to more work required, and we can just polish it this way. Let's move on to the next one. Thanks. The next one is the statement on the WCIT outcomes. Well, as I said, this is still on the sideline for the time being, or the back burner for the time being. Currently, open public comments. DNS Risk Management Framework Report. This is the DNS RMF report. I'm currently working with the DSSA in finding out whether the DSSA, the DSSA itself cannot produce a comment on this because it's not in their mandate to answer public comment periods. However, or in their charter to do so. However, some members of the DSSA might wish to contribute individually in the drafting of a statement on this. So I've been in touch with them, and I'm awaiting some feedback. I think that there might need to be a statement on this for the reason that I said yesterday, the concern that the risk management framework seems to be looking at the risk to ICANN, and risks from pretty much everything to ICANN, and the risk that the DSSA was looking at was the risk to the DNS. Now, what do we want to know more? Whether the DNS is under a risk or whether ICANN is under a risk. And that's really looking back at the SSRRT, the Stability and Security Resiliency Review Team, a recommendation. So it does require a bit of homework on that. Alan, do you have anything to add? Because, of course, you were in Los Angeles for the SSRRT review by the ATRT.
No, I don't have anything to add, and as I've said privately to you, I'm not quite sure why the DSSA group is stalled on this. I think just they should have continued and should continue at this point, if that's still possible, issue a report, even if the report says, you know, there are huge gaps in what ICANN is looking at and what we should be looking at, and get on with it. I think the group that's staying on, that lives this long, is going to have increasing problems, not decreasing. So
yes, thank you, Alan. Just as a feedback on this, actually, the historical thing is that when the DNSRMF asked for that consultant's report to be drafted, it did not consult the DSSA. So the DSSA found about it after everything had started. And then the answer that we were given was, oh, well, you know, we'll come back to you on your questions, and we'll see.
No, I'm not
between the two.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the SSA, not knowing where the board wanting to go and not receiving responses from the board, said, well, let's just take a breather, let's take a break, and wait until we see where this whole DNSRMF leads us. And now that it's leading us to wherever it is leading us, which is questionable, basically the next steps is the DSSA will be drafting its final report, which is an update to its interim report, and going back to the respective SOs and ACs, and I believe that the ALAC will be soon receiving that report, and asking the SOs and ACs, where do we go next? And it will be up for the ALAC. I hope to be able to give good recommendations as to where to go next. And for the GNSO, of course, to give recommendations and the different SOs and ACs that co-chartered.
This sounds like one of the few things that we may end up putting advice to the board on the title.
It sounds like it, very much, yes. Absolutely. Okay, next, the locking of a domain name subject to UDRP proceedings, PDP recommendations. That one, no statement, and the next one, the GNSO structures, charter amendment process, no statement either. I believe that's all we have at the moment. Since Matt hasn't looked at this in the past 24 hours, I'm not sure whether anything else has appeared on the
Olivia, I have one.
Okay, please, go ahead.
I completely missed that a week ago the IGO group put out a consensus recommendation, a consensus call, and I missed it until just after the ALAC meeting. I filled it out. I sent it out to the ALAC. Carlton has commented, and I replied on his comments. The consensus call has to be filed by next Tuesday. And I'm largely gone this weekend. I will have some email connectivity on occasion, though. I'm filing this as a personal opinion because there's clearly no time for a formal ALAC call. I would value any other input. Carlton has commented on a few things. Evan, I would appreciate if because he's the only other one who's been following this closely.
I'll have a go at it, Alan, today.
Yeah, and let's talk if necessary, because I'd like to get this closed up if possible, and talking is not going to be possible after tonight.
Alan, quick question to you. It's Olivia speaking for the transcript. The responses which you have provided saying that some groups like ISO, for example, would be prevented from applying, were these in response to what Carlton had said, or was that in response to the contents of the current report?
No, the last email is essentially addressing issues that Carlton raised or questions that he asked.
Ah, okay.
And, in that particular question, it was one of the issues that at this point we believe there is no consensus within the group on. And the question is, why provide subsidization to groups to or free objections to object to someone to a top-level domain. You know, we've been saying all along that you do not need to protect things at the top level. There must be sufficient objection processes to stop them. Actual conflicts like that are going to be relatively rare. You know, between someone trying to get a domain and it be the name of an IGO or an INGO. And one of the things that the group hasn't agreed on is should ICANN provide a free objection in that case. In other words, in the rare case that someone's trying to register .unicef, but they're not UNICEF, or .WHO, but they're not the World Health Organization, or something like that, should we provide a free objection? And Carlton said, what, a free objection to the Olympic Organization? They got plenty of money, or anything else. And I pointed out that, number one, it's pretty hard to define for a charitable organization, or an organization that claims to be a, you know, support human interests, whether they are rich or not.
Yeah.
A lot of money flies through them. It's a less clear thing whether they are rich.
They can allocate it. Yeah.
That's right. But the real issue is we'd only provide a free objection if we do not provide absolute blocking, which is what's on the table right now. The current applicant guidebook and what will continue unless this group proposes something radically different, is complete blocking. And we've always found an objection process to be far less objectionable than complete blocking. And if the objection process has to be free to be effective, then my understanding was we would support that. Yes, there may be some extreme case where we believe someone gets a free objection where they should have had money to pay, but there's no way we can build means tests into this. So that was the example there. That we are proposing that the names, and the board has already accepted that the names of IGOs be on the fully protected list. So to the extent that anyone is going to use a full IGO name as a TLD, they would be on the do not apply list. I think it's all rather stupid, because people are not going to be using whole sentences as TLDs. But on the other hand, both the board and this group tend to be against acronyms.
Yeah.
So if we're saying an acronym should not be on the objection list, should not be on the do not allocate list, then you probably need an objection process to cover the potential abuses cases. There's not likely to be a lot of abuses, but the potential abuses.
Okay.
And what I'm saying is for that to work, you probably have to make it a free objection process.
Okay. Thank you, Alan, for this background. And let's monitor this.
In any case, if anyone else has any input, please provide it. I am submitting this as a personal opinion, but to the extent I can say it has support from other people, that may have some weight.
All right, thank you.
Olivia, this is...
Any other points or questions? Yes, Evan Libovich, go ahead.
Yeah. Just to say, this is Evan speaking. Alan, I'll work with you, and at very least I'll add my name to what you're doing. We've been pretty much in sync through most of this.
Yep.
So I'll go over it with you. At very least, I will commit to having a go at this. And usually, when Alan has sent me something to look at, I've had very little quibble with it.
Yeah.
So at very least, I'll put my name on it
yeah.
as well.
Since this is a consensus call, it's really up to it. Although I've used different words in trying to convey my meaning, it's really saying, are we going to support this or are we going to object to this? There's a whole bunch of things that in the past we have found distasteful but not harmful. And those, I think, we have to come down on the support side. You know, like, for instance, allowing the United Nations International Children's Emergency Fund, spelled out in full, to be a TLD that someone applies for. It's stupid, but it's not harmful.
So in other words, limit our comments to the things we think are destructive.
Well, you know, in the document I sent out, and I said it, I can live with. Those, I think, will map to, since I can live with says we are not going to object to it, we're not going to file a minority paper on it, it maps to support. Disdain, you know, grudgingly support, but support.
Thank you, gentlemen. Let's move on.
Okay. Thank you for
any other questions or comments? Yeah, thanks for this, Alan. And as I said, well, you know, as you said, basically, it would be good if anybody else has points of view and so on. They can get in touch directly with you, and then you can relay
yep.
this in your response.
I mean,
any
just
other
for the
points?
Record,
okay.
This is a consensus call that if we end up having a consensus and a final report out of it, and Tomas and staff seem determined, it's going to be such a mishmash that I'm not quite sure what the board, I mean, the GNSO will likely ratify, but I'm not quite sure what the board will do with it, because some of the things will simply not satisfy the GAC, and they're things that the board is already prepared to concede on. So, you know, I'm not quite sure how this proves that the PDP process is working, but they're determined to get it over with one way or another.
Thanks, Alan. Cheryl Langdonor next.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to make sure that everyone had run their course on this discussion / briefing before I put this point forward. Thanks for the opportunity, Olivier. I just wondered, Alan, since your leadership team here has had the benefit of a more extensive briefing, and I'm not hearing hue and cry about any form of not happiness, could you not, Olivier, ask that that at least this grouping respond in very short order to whatever final documentation is put together after Evan dots the I's and crosses the T's, and that then Alan could go ahead and say that this is not just an individual approach, but it is one that has the in principle support, at least, of the at-large advisory committee leadership team. If that's useful, I think this is the meeting to put that forward. Thanks.
Yes, thank you very much, Cheryl. That's a very good point and a very good suggestion. I see no barrier to us doing this. I haven't heard, though, from Rinalia nor from Tijani on this. I'm not sure whether either would like to comment. Would you be happy with this?
Yeah. Olivier, before they answer, I just realized I misstated something. The response is not due to the 2nd, which is Tuesday. I will be back on Monday and be able to interact with people if necessary, or at least accept input and
okay.
rework if necessary. Sorry, I forgot
yeah.
that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Alan. Rinalia, Tijani? I think Tijani has disappeared off my screen. I'm not quite sure whether he's still with us. I see a yes from Rinalia. Okay, well, a majority of the XCOM people currently present are okay with it. So let's do that, Alan.
Okay.
Once you come back, on Monday you said you'd be back, and just before the meeting, basically, we'll read through it and give you a green light or a red light if we don't agree with it.
Olivier?
Yes, Tijani.
Okay, it's okay for me. It's okay for me, yeah?
Okay, perfect.
Green tick.
Excellent.
Green tick, okay.
Great. Okay.
Terrific.
And thanks for the suggestion, Cheryl. That's a very good way forward. More policy development questions or comments or suggestions? That's
just a reminder for people to beat the bushes if anyone wants to get involved in the GNSO policy implementation group. It does look like it's going to be an interesting group and has some promise of coming up with something rational.
I believe I am.
Oh, good.
Okay. One more thing. The new draft on public interest commitment dispute resolution procedure is something which has come up on our ALAC list, ALAC discussion list, with a lot of feedback and some points which Rinalia has raised. Certainly looks as though our last comment was not really taken into account. We were pretty clear regarding the picks. And anything that you could add to this, Rinalia, please? Because at the moment, I'm not quite sure what we can do for the time being. These are, I guess, discussion papers, and we're not quite sure where this is going to go. But you very clearly said that, yes, they are currently negotiating with contracted parties on this. I mean, is there room for negotiation on this? Rinalia?
Hi, Olivier. Actually, I received that from the NTAG list because I've been following up their recommendations on community priority evaluation, and that popped up. As far as I know, the draft is being sent by Cyrus Namazi to the registry group. So my assumption is that they're discussing, therefore they're negotiating on the text. And if you don't see our concerns in terms of the ALAC's concerns reflected in the text, it's probably because they're not really listening to us or want to listen to us. And I don't know when it would be open to other stakeholder groups to comment on. Anyway, Alan and Evan have their hands up.
Thank you, Rinalia. Yes, Alan Greenberg.
Thank you. I'll prefix this saying I haven't read these discussion papers. But what we were trying to push Fatty on is explain his crowdsourcing of problem determinations, which I can would then follow up on. This is not a PIC issue, but ICANN compliance in enforcement issue that he claimed would be in parallel with the PIC. And unless someone tells me otherwise, I'm going to assume that this isn't in what they're discussing with the registries. So it's not the details of the PIC dispute process that we're looking at, but the details of PIC enforcement. And you know, tell me if I need to go read it, because it is talked about there. But if it's just the dispute process that we're talking about, then it's not. That doesn't answer our original question, and they've sidestepped it again.
Thank you, Alan. Evan Yugovich?
Thanks, Olivier. Alan, in terms of what they're discussing, based on what's in the document, from what I can tell, the issue, for instance, of who has standing. I mean, if that isn't core to this, I don't know what is. Who has standing to launch an investigation saying that the PIC isn't being adhered to? You're right that it's mainly a compliance thing, but certainly there are issues of policy when we're dealing with who is enabled to have standing. If the current document says that you must demonstrate that you and your identified community has demonstrable impact, notably financial impact, from an abrogation of a PIC, you have standing, else you do not. I'm sorry, but to me, that is getting into policy as opposed to a detail.
Yeah, Evan, my understanding, you know, factoring in what was written about the PIC DRP and what Fatty has said in recorded meetings, is that the PIC DRP is for third parties to get into the process. That is someone who is not named in the contract. None of our contracts
outside the realm. Sorry, Alan. This is explicitly outside the realm of what Rinalia has brought to our attention. So this is a clear case where Fadi is saying one thing in public meetings, and what's privately being negotiated just the opposite.
Evan, that's the point I'm making. The PIC DRP, none of the ICANN contracts have third-party beneficiary clauses. I know all sorts of people say they should, but they don't.
The dispute process is a way for a third party to get involved. That is, they're not party to a contract, but we name an outside arbitrator to look and see whether there is an issue here. And if so, goes back to ICANN and says enforce it because there is a third party being affected. My understanding from what Fatty said is in addition to that, ICANN will take enforcement actions itself.
Well, I'm
and
not,
and that part we have not seen embodied in writing. Now,
okay.
If it
what we
if,
have seen, though, Alan, is a set of guidelines that appears to actively disincentivize third parties, both as a matter of who has standing and as a matter of who's willing to bear the cost of challenging an abrogation of a PIC.
And that matters less if ICANN is willing to accept input and take up the challenge itself if there is a contract violation.
To what extent has ICANN been able to demonstrate that it generates the trust necessary that it's capable of doing that?
We're saying the same thing. The PIC has to be enforceable not just by third parties saying they've been harmed. If it's not, then it's a sham.
Okay.
So we're in
agreement it's a sham.
Okay.
Thank you, gentlemen. This is an interesting discussion indeed. And yes,
yeah.
Having been over in Los Angeles, I did hear the same thing from Fadi. It certainly is a different kettle of fish if I can take basically uses a two-pronged approach because the public interest part of the public interest commitment is to me what the key is, and if there is no public interest in the public interest commitment, then we really are dealing
well, Olivier,
with a sham
then either,
altogether.
Then either we need to make a statement to the board and quickly, a very simple short statement, or you who have are the only one who has direct access to Fatty need to use that.
I think that I would certainly be for making this a little bit more above board, because the discussion we had with Fadi was not a recorded discussion as such. I'd like to officialize this because I'm somehow a little concerned about hearing things in on one path and then seeing something completely different on the other. I'd rather do things to the record so as to hold people accountable to what's being said.
I have one thing to add.
Yes, go ahead, Evan.
Okay. I'm more than happy to work with you on such a very, very brief statement that would be then approved by the ALAC and then sent as official advice to the board. What I would simply also add that I see a convergence between the attitudes that I see compliance taking towards the PIC BRP and also some of the attitudes that I'm seeing reflected in the new bulk complaint system, in that they're explicitly putting in the ability for ICANN to define a serial abuser. The concept that the public might abuse the objection process that would give ICANN the ability to say, oh, you've objected too many times. That's going to denigrate the standing of your next objection. I see this now in the PIC DRP process. It is a reflection of what Garth has pointed out in the conventional ICANN problem reporting system. It is not just one document. It appears to be a culture. ICANN is now circling the wagons and trying to define people that it believes might be abusing the complaint system. Heaven forbid that people complain more often than they would like to hear. There is a cultural problem here. There is a high-level problem here. I agree with you that a high-level response is required. There's a couple of dots to be joined here, because this is not just the PIC DRP. This is a reflection of things that are happening elsewhere surrounding compliance and other components of this. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Evan. And actually, whilst meeting with Maggie in Los Angeles, I touched specifically on this point. having serial abusers as being defined or undefined, rather, because what defines an abuser is a subjective thing, would be banned from using the system. And I told her in no uncertain words that she had absolutely no mandate to ban anyone from the system, apart from banning organizations that she had contracts with, and that's what compliance does. So she was a bit taken aback by this, but I did tell her if she wants the ALAC to come up with an official statement to confirm this, we would be ever so happy to do so. Alan?
My recollection is what you said, because I wasn't at the meeting, was that if indeed something is necessary to stop real abuse, and there can be real abuse which could use up gobs and gobs of personnel time unreasonably, that the ALAC would help try to craft that. I recall you saying.
I did say there was a concern, there was a question with regards to what abuse was. And at that point, yes, and there is an action item that has come out on there, which I think is about to be affected. I'm not sure if it's in the process or not, which is for the ALAC consumer, one of our groups, one of our working groups is supposed to be defining the what abuse could be in reporting things to compliance. Define the word abuse. Now, if that cannot be defined, then that might be an answer that is given.
Olivia,
this is Evan. If this was going to be taken up by a working group, it probably would be the regulatory issues one.
Yes, Evan, but the regulatory issues working group does not actually exist as such. It's still the joint who is and RAA, I think. Registrant rights, there we go. Who is and registrant rights. They're not officially merged together. So I was going to say it's more specifically the registrant rights working group that would be looking at this.
Yeah, Olivia, I realize that as we were talking, that what we're really talking about here is the equivalent of a denial of service attack on compliance. And we know they exist on the internet, and conceivably they could exist in compliance. The question is, how do you recognize it?
So that's exactly, I think, where we were going at. Now, if I think you might already be doing the work of the working group. That's a possible abuse. But someone filing 100 complaints a day, of which 50 of them get thrown out, is not abuse. It's just that they have a lot of complaints to send through, and it's exactly like blocking someone from calling up, dialing up the police for, you know, many times a day. You just can't deal with it this way. You
heavy
can't
use
ban
is
them
not
from calling.
Is not abuse. So
but in some ways, in some of the documents that I have read with compliance, heavy use might be seen as abuse.
I'm not defending
that.
And
this is not something that we want to go down. That's not a road we want to go down at all.
Olivia, are you calling, as an action item out of this group, are you calling for the crafting of a short statement to the board about our concerns regarding a culture of ICANN defending itself against perceived abuse that may not exist, both in the PIC-DRP and within general compliance?
No, I have not asked for that. The request was to ask the Registrant Rights Working Group to let us know what they believe, what they think is abuse of any of the systems.
Okay.
To define what abuse is.
I thought you were asking for some kind of high-level statement from the ALAC that was going to connect the dots between, you know, the issues that we're seeing from the PIC-DRP as well as elsewhere.
Well, you know, until we have conclusive evidence that this is the case, then we can't start coming up with statements that just emanate from discussions we had with individuals, and that we can't base our documents on anything that's actually been voted on. We cannot comment on working documents that are currently in place. The only thing was
as we just discussed 10 minutes ago, was the discussion with you and myself to draft a statement on the PIC-DRP specifics. And to see, once we've got that together, whether it could be a correspondence or a statement.
Okay.
I realize the time is ticking, and I know that some of us have a hard stop at 5:30 the hour. So any other questions on policy, basically, or discussions on policy? We've done a lot of policy today, so I'm pretty pleased about this. Now, the rest of the agenda is actually pretty clear. We've got review of the last meeting that we had. And in the last meeting, if I remind you all, so that's the 27th of August, teleconference. I think that you might have put this. There you go. You've got it again in your Adobe chat. We had the new chair appointments. I think that went very well. Very pleased to see both Dave and Tijani chairing those two groups. The approval of the ALAC CCNSO meeting, that's moving forward. The next steps for the board member selection. Thanks very much, Alan, for the whole summary and where we're moving on this. And thank you, Cheryl, as well for that. I thought that was very helpful. Now we know where we're going.
Yep.
Cheryl
pointed out, although we have a lot of months to go, the schedule is going to be tight, even given all of the things that have to happen. So we do need to move forward as quickly as we can, to the extent that you have any influence to let that happen.
That's fully understood. And the moment staff gets back to me and we're able to get things moving, then I'm all for it. The earlier we start, the more time we'll have to be able to do all those calls for candidates, et cetera. And at the moment, not very much going on this week. Heidi is traveling as well. So next week, I think we'll see things cranking up. The meeting strategy working group, good update from Tijani and Eduardo. The working group updates, very pleased to see the Academy moving forward with the work that Sandra is doing, trying to put together the work of the leadership training and also the training for people on how to run meetings. Very exciting program, and that's going to be coming up very soon. And, of course, I'll remind you all, we should soon be finding out who those non-com appointees are. We are at the end of August. In fact, yes, judging from your – do you have any dates on when these will be released, Cheryl?
Nope.
Nope?
That's not my non-com.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll just wait then. We'll just have to wait.
Let me answer it a little bit more seriously. NOMCOM is waiting. We're ready,
okay.
But we're waiting. Okay?
Great. Let's wait as well then. Let's join the crew. If everyone's waiting, let's wait. Next, the Atlas II, as I've mentioned earlier in this call, the funding is there, so we now have a full amount of work, and Eduardo is doing a great job in leading this, so I'm quite pleased. We're going to, as a group, we're going to have to add, really make sure that the bridge between the RALOs and the ALAC is strengthened, and that we get all of the RALOs involved, heavily involved, with the organization, with the program, with all of this. This really is going to be a test for our community, and I see this as a major, major project. I don't know, frankly, I don't know if it will work. It's one of these things where it's 150, 160 at-large structures now. It's a lot of at-large structures. It's never been done before. We have all the assets to be able to do this, and assets as in we have the experience, we have the personnel, we have, I think, looking at our RALOs, they all are very much upbeat now. So, it's the right time to move forward with this. But we have to be very vigilant that we don't waste time in these early days and then constantly push and get our at-large structures involved. Next, we have ACSO chair speaking at the ATLAS 2. No, that's not really a working group update. And then the new GTLD working group. Thanks for this update, Evan. That was good. The ALAC discussion on the meeting schedule, unfortunately, we didn't have any time to look at, and Heidi not being here, it's going to be tough. I don't think we can discuss this right now. And then on the Los Angeles meeting, I don't know if you've had any chance to look at the action items of the day's activities. If you have any questions, you're very welcome to ask them from me now. And then with regards to ATRT2, that's already been dealt with. Comments, questions on the last ALAC meeting? I don't see anyone putting their hand up, so I guess we're on the any other business part.
Yes.
Hi, Cheryl?
Thank you very much. Because we have extremely efficient support staff, Gisela has pointed out something rather important while she, Natalie, and Julia are sorting out doodles and things with me for the metrics working group in the next steps, which did come out of the last meeting. She's quite wisely reminded me that, of course, with Yalvi now moving to ICANN staff, he was, of course, the ALAC's liaison into this working group. The ALAC will need to appoint a new one. So you might need to consider that between now and your next meeting, because we will be having a couple of meetings between now and your next meeting. It would be very much appreciated by the work group if you could take that to a online and list discussion, selection and confirmation of someone for us, please.
Thank you very much, Cheryl, and thanks for pointing this out. Let's have this as an action item from this meeting.
It's Alan. I can't put my hand up right now. Cheryl, what kind of workload are you looking at?
Absolutely minimal. It's liaison's job to preferably attend, but if not, keep in their finger on the pulse of what's going on in the metrics work group and report to and fro the ALAC. In other words, if there was also an issue, the same as with the GNSO work group, they act as the appropriate authority.
No, I meant what kind of workload for the working group, what kind of meeting schedules?
Fortnightly.
Since I had planned to participate and I never have gotten around to it, I'm willing to do that.
Perfect.
To participate and be liaison, since I have a small interest in the area.
Perfect. And Olivier, if I may then suggest that if you put that proposal from the leadership team group now to the list and just ask them to sanction it post-haste, that would be great.
Thanks very much, Cheryl. And as you will see, I don't know who is typing the action item, but the action item is regarding the liaison for metrics working group to suggest Alan Greenberg to be that liaison. And that's for Olivier to do this AI.
And add me,
Alan?
And add me to the list regardless of whether I'm liaison or not.
It's hugely important. Thanks, Alan.
Okay, I see the action items being there. It's for Olivier to do this. So Olivier Panoblon to suggest Alan Greenberg to the mailing list. Any other business? I don't see anyone having put their hand up. Wow, this means we are finishing early. Thanks to all of you. It's been, as usual, very productive. Thank you, Gisela. I believe this is probably one of your last calls for a while, or do you have a few more coming up?
Thank you, Olivier. Gisela here. No, this is my last call.
So,
thank you.
Then it's our last opportunity to remind you about the dearth of pictures.
Indeed. Yes, they will be forwarding once my computer's back up and running, because that's decided now to completely pack up.
Well, computer was ready to pack up for the next 6 months, or is it 3 months? So,
Olivier, Gisela here, three.
Three months. You never know. You might wish to take 6 months. After 3 months, you might enjoy it.
She'll want human contact. It's not sucking on her tit, I'm sure.
Okay, and we'll have to scrap that from the transcript. Thank you very much.
Why?
It's entirely natural, absolutely. Well, thanks very much to everyone, and bravo as well to Julia, who's going through her baptism of fire with regards to these calls, the last ALAC call and the call here. Welcome, and you'll have fun with us, hopefully. Sometimes you'll want to kill us as well, but that's a different thing. Thanks to everyone. Thanks, everybody. This call is now adjourned.
Thank
Goodbye.
You.
Bye.
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 Good luck,
thank you.
Guys.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.